Hi, everyone, and welcome to The Matchmaker is In. I'm Karen Webster. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Greg Amos, the CEO of PopCodes. Greg, thanks for joining me today.
My pleasure, Karen.
PopCodes is a platform that makes it possible for consumers to use promo codes that they get online in store. Sounds like a simple thing to do, but as all these matchmaker businesses have taught us, it's often the simple looking things that tend to be the most complicated to execute. So let's start with the basics. What makes you a matchmaker? Who are you bringing together? And specifically, what friction are you solving for those stakeholders?
Well, I think you hit on one of the key ones, Karen, is the consumer who receives their promotions, builds loyalty through a variety of channels, both online and in store, and expects to have a consistent experience between those two worlds. And both for big merchants and for small merchants, that's a huge challenge. And so that's one of our key focuses there, is to make sure that that merchant and their advertising partners, the people that typically pay for those promotions, are able to distribute promotions and engage customers, and to have that experience go seamlessly from online into store.
So what inspired you to take on this problem? I mean, I think about my experience over the holiday weekend doing my shopping online, and promo codes are everywhere. I used many of them. But then as a consumer that goes to those same merchants in the store, you often wonder whether you're getting the same sort of deals, because there is no promo code to put into a point of sale environment. But I guess I've never thought about it before when I've checked out. But what made you think about it?
Well, prior to starting PopCodes, I'd spent about 10 years at Macy's, where I was VP of Customer and Marketing Systems. And at Macy's, we invested a lot of money and a lot of time in understanding that customer journey and knowing that the customer frequently went from online in browsing and searching for products to making purchases in the store. And so we built a lot of systems that connected our online environment to our in-store environment, and Macy's actually is one of the few where you can actually use a promo code at the brick and mortar point of purchase. Mm-hmm. When I left Macy's, I actually moved to Canada, and one of the things that I saw here that was really unique from my shopping experience in the U.S. was that the customer journey quite often ends at the point of purchase on a payment terminal, a device that is very simple and very secure and customer-facing, where the customer actually interacts with that terminal through typically chip and PIN. And as I thought about the challenges that we had at Macy's and that our manufacturer and CPG partners had in engaging customers and bringing them online, bringing them through social, and then having that consistent experience in the store, I saw that payment terminal as a device that could potentially be a huge connector in that gap, and to do it in a way that not only works for the large merchants, but works across many small merchants as well, because that, again, is a very common, very simple device that is used really in Canada almost everywhere, and certainly starting to be that way in the U.S. as well.
So is it true that today merchants compensate by just offering a similar discount in store but without the promo code? So if I use a promo code to get 30% off when I go to the store, they just give me 30% off. Is it the promo code that is the trigger to unlocking that value to the consumer, or do merchants unlock that value other ways, and why isn't that okay?
Well, the merchants and manufacturers and advertisers definitely try to keep things consistent and offer promo codes online and coupons that are tracked by barcodes and other things in the store. They offer loyalty programs with loyalty IDs and other things online, and you obviously have your loyalty cards in store. The key is the consistent, seamless experience. And if I'm a consumer and I've been shopping online and I'm aware of a promo code, but I don't have the physical coupon, and I go into the store, I should and I expect to get the same, same offer that I would have gotten online. In today's world, we're asking the consumer to know where they're going to shop in advance and to have the right thing to make that shopping experience, valuable and give them what they were offered. And our focus is to make it seamless so that the consumer, if they don't have that coupon, for example, if they don't have their loyalty card with them, they can still connect in through a secure device and retrieve what it was offered to them, what was available to them, whether it was a promotion or the right to use their loyalty points, right through that secure payment terminal.
Got it. So it sounds like to me the critical path for you isn't so much the consumer, because they're already interested in being able to get that same level of service and savings, but it's the ecosystem of payments itself. So on the merchant acquiring side, that seems to me to be the long pole in the tent for you as a matchmaker, getting those guys on board and convinced that there's enough demand on the merchant side to do the integration.
Yeah, that's a really great point. There's a lot of standards existing in place already for merchants and advertisers who are creating promotions and distributing promotions. Like you said, in the online space, that promo code is there and it's pretty ubiquitous across every checkout screen. On the brick and mortar side, there are mostly the ability to scan barcodes at point of sale. The key is to be able to do either at either the online or the in-store environment, and to do it in a way that doesn't require very complex integration. The challenge that Macy's had was relatively simple because we owned the online environment and we owned our own point of sale environment, and so we could build those custom integrations between the two. But if you're trying to do it across hundreds or thousands of different merchants and the hundreds or thousands of different point-of-sale systems, it's extremely complicated to do it on a one-by-one basis and to integrate it into every point-of-sale system. The big advantage of the payment terminal is there's really a few manufacturers, two or three, that have 90% market share, and a few payment processors, less than 50 support almost all of the 9 million small and medium merchants. And so by working with that community and leveraging that common device, the payment terminal itself, we can rapidly deploy and rapidly expand to a lot of merchants this functionality with a very low cost. And that's been really the key for us. We deployed to over 16,000 merchants in less than 90 days.
Wow.
Again,
did you know that that was going to be a hurdle when you started Popcodes?
Quite honestly, no. It's kind of a classic pivot story. I'm very familiar with the challenges that retailers have, and the value of measuring and optimizing promotions and tracking that. But when I saw how common the customer experience was on the payment terminal, I thought, okay, let's go do that. And then I found out that the acquirers and the ISOs that control that payment terminal and distribute the software onto that payment terminal really didn't have a model to deploy something like this at a large scale. And so we had to figure out what's in it for them. What would make those acquirers and those ISOs interested in deploying our software and making creating that merchant marketplace? And we added a set of features to our core application that allow merchant acquirers to better engage and support their merchant community. And that is what really, you know, accelerated and turbocharged our connection to that marketplace. So we actually ended up being the matchmaker between two.
Got it. So what did you do?
It started off, quite honestly, with something as simple as ordering paper. Every payment terminal has a roll of paper in it, and everybody needs to have paper to be able to complete a credit card transaction. And so those rolls of thermal paper, and ordering those rolls of thermal paper was the first value add that we created. We actually created promo code called PAPER. 72737 is a promo code that instead of giving a discount, sends a message to the merchant service provider saying, this merchant needs paper. We obviously having merchants learn promo codes is a lot different than having consumers learn promo codes. So in the current generation of our application, instead of needing to know codes, merchants can access service and support. They can add services like being able to accept gift cards and other things right through the menu on the payment terminal. So that that secure, ubiquitous device now becomes a tool for the merchant to be able to get what they need from their service provider, the acquirer.
That's really interesting. So the incentive that you offered the acquiring part of the ecosystem was the ability to deliver better service by giving merchants the ability to use your innovation to basically order things that they needed or signal that they wanted to add new features and functions. That's pretty clever.
Yeah, it was surprising to me. We found that the merchant acquirers have the same problem in the marketplace that merchants had in reaching consumers. There's a lot of churn. That churn is very costly. There's a lot of competition. And merchant experience and merchant engagement is as important to those acquirers as consumer experience and consumer engagement is to the merchant. And so solving both sides of that marketplace problem with one solution was the ideal fit.
Interesting. And paper, how about that? I mean, obviously you know a lot about the retail point of sale experience, so you were pretty tuned into that. But it's something that, now that you mention it, it's so obvious. But
I didn't realize
it's hidden in plain sight.
You need a new roll of paper after every 50 or 60 transactions.
Really?
So again, imagine those small payment terminals. The big point of sale systems where it's fully integrated, they can handle a bigger roll of paper. But the credit and debit payment terminal that is either on the checkout stand or held in your hand, that thing can hold about 50 or 60 transactions. And so it's a common need, and it's where those merchant service providers make a good bit of their profit. And so it seemed to be a good fit. Now we're focusing on going beyond just ordering supplies and being able to answer questions like if a merchant has a chargeback. Again, because it's a secure device, we can deliver information specifically about that event right back to the merchant when they need it.
Interesting. So you mentioned that you're focused on the smaller merchant to give them the same experience as the larger merchants have. But do many consumers shop the smaller merchants and get promo codes online from them? What's your experience with that? And maybe I just need to understand what you mean by small, because that in and of itself is defined very differently by different people.
Yeah, so the small medium merchant is typically less than 100 employees, less than 10 locations, and there's about 9 million of those in North America, and they make up about 65% of total retail sales. And they are absolutely struggling and behind when they compare to the top 20 big box retailers in terms of both their online and in store experience. But that means that there's a huge opportunity. And again, if you're a consumer and you're looking in your local market you pretty much know what's going to be at the big box retailers. It's, you know, right, the same products, you know, and if you're looking for something different, if you're looking to support your local, you know, your local merchants, then, you know, connecting with them through the social platforms, connecting with them through their online environments and shopping in their stores obviously is important to you. And that's, you know, again, a huge opportunity. They're also not participating as much as they could in the billions of dollars of trade promotions that manufacturers and CPGs create. You know, the lost opportunity for them in, you know, participating in those promotions is significant, and it's primarily because it's a difficult, you know, process to collect the promotion code or collect the promotions and apply, you know, and receive reimbursement for those promotions. And so most of them either, you know, don't accept the promotions, which again creates some friction between the consumer and the merchant that you don't want, or they don't actually collect the money. So they'll give the discount, but they don't go back to the manufacturer, the CPG, to get the credit. And that's another part that our solution allows to, you know, track that systemically, so that if I'm, you know, a big manufacturer or a CPG provider, and I know that, you know, 65% of my product is sold in these small and medium merchants, I can actually directly connect and engage with the consumer, offer them a promotion. Even better than the big box, I can know now exactly in real time where that promotion was redeemed. Whereas most of the big box people, they provide that promotional analysis weeks or sometimes months after the event.
Wow. So I guess I was too narrow in my thinking. I'm thinking of a promo code that I put in when I'm checking out that applies some sort of discount to things in my basket, or, you know, most of the things in my basket, with the exception of a couple things that may be excluded. But you're also enabling a brand, an advertiser of some kind, to reach into the point of sale environment at these small merchants and provide an incentive of some kind on particular products that are sold in those stores.
Yeah, and really that's the start, right? I mean, you have a very secure, very well connected device with a simple interface, that payment terminal. And if I want to retrieve loyalty points, for example, instead of a promo code, I can pass my phone number. I can either type it in or tap my phone, and that's my loyalty ID. Or I can, you know, tap in my loyalty ID itself. It's just another code. And I can retrieve opportunities to redeem points to cash. So right at point of sale, instead of printing a coupon, I could print out a $10 voucher that says,
wow,
you know, you've now converted 1,000 points to $10 off your purchase. And again, in Canada, those consortium loyalty programs are pretty mature. There's a couple big ones, and they still can only do in-store redemption of loyalty points with a handful of their merchant communities. The vast majority of their merchants can't do it because it requires complex POS integration. When you do it through the point of purchase on the payment terminal, it can be deployed much more quickly and much more broadly.
So how long have you guys been creating this? Give us a sense of how long you've been thinking about this and how long you've been in market.
We're in year three. I would say that the first year was really around fleshing out the concept and getting our first certifications, which, as you can imagine, is quite a difficult thing to do on the payment terminal, because if there was any fear in retail, that's fear of, you know, PCI compliance and data loss on the terminal.
Sure.
So we had to architect our solution and go through, you know, quite a bit of work to get it certified by both the terminal manufacturers and payment processors. And we now have both Ingenico and Verifone, which really make up about 80% of the devices in market share in North America, two of the really top 10 payment processors. And we're working on deals right now with another four of the top 10. So between them, they, you know, those top 10 payment processors cover well over a million merchants across North America.
Now, are you taking a particular vertical strategy or geographic strategy to your rollout? How are you approaching your go-to-market?
It's an interesting challenge, and definitely as you look at the matchmaker models and success stories, the payment ecosystem brings some new twists to that. So most of the time they are not geographic-based. Our 16,000 merchant installs were spread pretty broadly across all the Canadian provinces, as well as into a few states in the U.S. So we haven't at this point said, again, because we're focused on helping those acquirers better service the merchants, we haven't said, we're going to just focus in this geography or against this retail vertical. We definitely see that there are some geographies and some retail verticals that are much more ready to deliver promotions in store and to engage in those types of loyalty programs. And we'll be, in subsequent months and into 2017 and 18, identifying different targets. One that has cropped up just by circumstances is the quick service restaurant business. And we have a mid-size franchisee that has lots of different point-of-sale environments, very little coordination between all the different franchisees, who is using our system because their marketing agency can quickly create and define a promotion and communicate it through social channels, digital channels, radio or other channels. And when the customer comes into the store, the store associate knows that they can just direct them to enter in the code, and they honor whatever pops out. So if it says give this guy a free taco, they don't have to worry about whether it's real or not. They know that it popped out of the secure terminal. They give the guy a free taco.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought about that because I can imagine, there are those people that try to game the system. So you do provide that kind of authentic experience from the merchant's perspective that it's a legit promo code that's being used. I can't just walk up and say free taco.
Exactly. When consumers put their credit card in the machine, either says accepted or declined. It's really easy for the store associate to give them the product, even though there's no physical thing that's ever changed hands, to give them the product knowing that that machine said accepted. And so when that machine says give them 50% off, and they know that it came out from that secure terminal, they don't have to worry about whether that was a valid offer or not. Only valid offers can be retrieved. So if it's the wrong date or the wrong time or the wrong location, it won't be accepted, and they'll have a different message to give to that consumer explaining why.
Interesting. What do you wish you knew then that you know now, 3 years into this, and getting your platform going?
Yeah, there's definitely some nuances between the Canadian marketplace and the U.S. marketplace that had to be learned. There are a little bit more diverse devices in the Canadian market, in the U.S. marketplace, than there are in the Canadian marketplace. There's still a lot of merchants that don't have EMV compliant terminals. About 60% right now. So there's a lot of them that are still moving towards these new devices. Understanding those nuances and exactly what it takes to get a software distributed and to engage and motivate those payment processors who, for years, really have only been dealing with fractional discounts in their payment rates as their mode to sell to merchants, right? And helping them understand that if you add more value in those fractional percentage points of discounts might not be necessary, and that merchants will be happy with driving more traffic into their store and the increase in spend and not looking for a few dollars off their processing fees.
Yeah, no, I was going to ask you about that because, you know better than anyone having worked for a very large retailer by the name of Macy's, that foot traffic is just hard to come by these days. And you know, even the even the holiday shopping season has seen a decline in foot traffic. I think this is year four that it's been on a steady steep decline. I mean, if you can use your promo code online, why do you need to go to the store when you can buy stuff online? Are you seeing that the merchants you're deploying your solution with are using it to bring people into their environment?
Well, there's a couple of things that you know are happening in the you know omni-channel space that are pretty interesting. So most of the big merchants that are sharing these numbers are showing that about 30 to 35% of the consumers that even make a purchase online are choosing to go to the store to pick it up. So
right.
You know the buy online, pick up in store model is 30% of total e-com sales. You know in Macy's, in Home Depot, in Target, you know, in all those big retailers. They're also seeing the cost of shipping and paid free shipping and paid returns. And,
yep.
You know, again, they know that bringing that consumer into the store and allowing them to return the product in store results in more sales.
Yep.
And so, you know, that the balance between the convenience of the online shopping and the level of engagement that you get and the incremental spend that you get in store is a very you know, delicate thing. And I think
mm-hmm.
retailers, again, are trying to figure out how to make that experience from online into store, you know, as seamless as possible. And one of their challenges with the buy online, pick up in store model is, you know, you now send a consumer, instead of you know, shopping the aisles, you send them to stand in line in customer care. And
right.
they're, you know, waiting in line that's sometimes longer than the checkout line, only because you've pulled a product off the shelf. What if you allowed that consumer to go to the shelf, pick up the product, and generate a proof of their online purchase right at that point of sale? So again, instead of a promotion code, it's a proof of purchase. And so now I can grab the product and you know walk to the checkout and prove that I've already paid for it. And again, with the right mix of incentives, using your product to drive traffic to the store and giving special pricing for online purchases that are picked up in store could be an awesome way for merchants to both know their customer better because they can track much more information when they purchase online, but then to get that customer into the store and pick up other things to fill out that basket.
Yeah, no, that sounds like a clever way to solve, you know, retail's, certainly one of retail's biggest friction, if not its biggest friction, is getting shoppers into the store. They just don't make it a priority as much as they used to since they have access to just about everything they need online. Well, it sounds like you're putting your great retail experience to work for lots of different retailers who are looking to create a competitive opportunity for themselves and to deliver a better experience for their consumers.
Yeah, we have you know a lot of those you know ideas and concepts to flesh out still. And as you know the marketplace matures and as we start to establish that you know install base, which you know my goal is in the hundreds of thousands of merchants.
Yep.
You know then there's all kinds of cross promotion opportunities, multi merchant you know promotion opportunities. You know, as a CPG, I could offer a free sample to someone or some of my best, you know, online social, consumers and not worry about it going viral, letting them, you know, pick up the product right at the store. A lot of things that can be solved when that connection from the virtual world to the physical world is seamless and secure and ubiquitous. And that's what we're going for.
Well, Greg, it was a pleasure. This half hour zipped right by. It was a fascinating conversation. I'm really intrigued by the business where it is today and certainly some of the things that you shared toward the end as to where you're taking your technology for the benefit of merchants and consumers in the future. It was great chatting with you. Thanks for joining me today.
It was definitely my pleasure, and look forward to watching and listening to more of your broadcasts in the future.
Well, thank you, Greg. And to everyone who listened in today, thanks. Have a great rest of the day, and until next time. Bye now.
All right. Thank you.